Thank you for listening to Faith Church Podcast, a ministry of Faith Church of the Nazarene in Jacksonville, North Carolina. We now join our service in progress.
So we're going to take the next step in a series that we started last week entitled The Biblical Answers for Tough Financial Times. Most of you have noticed that the economy is in a bit of a turmoil, and that's become an issue even in the elections and so forth. And the question is, how can we as Christians deal with that? And one of the things we talked about last week was the fact that God has promised He will take care of us, and that we don't need to let the fear in our world take over our lives, because the Lord has promised He will never leave us, He'll never forsake us. But this morning I want to take a look at another aspect of how do we deal with things in tough financial times. Now, this week I ran across some pictures that I'd like to share with you. Let's see here. These step two and three, I couldn't find step one. Step two says, a friendly agent will deliver the money to your home. Step three, your agent will call regularly to collect your repayment from you. What do you think step one was? Step two sounds great. Our friendly agent will deliver the money to your home. Step three, read between the lines, and not quite so friendly. Your agent, it doesn't say friendly agent. Your agent will call regularly to collect your repayment from you. What do you think step one was? I really think step one was, take leave of your senses and call 1-800-LOAN-SHARK. I think that's what it was. I'm not sure. I couldn't swear to it, but I think that's what it was. It reminds us that folks can get themselves into some very difficult financial positions. It didn't take me too long to search on the internet and found a guy who was willing to publish this view of his account. I'm amazed that he actually put it online, but it's kind of X's out the account number so you can't see it. But this guy ends up with a business line of credit, a business credit card, a personal line of credit, and a personal credit card. Each of those has outstanding balance in the thousands of dollars until you add it all up with those two credit cards and two lines of credit, totals $83,813.35. And that's probably mid-range somewhere. There are people out there that owe more than that. In fact, this looks like somebody who's decided that they need to make a statement. Here's a Virginia license plate. Can y'all figure out what that means? You are in debt. That's what it says. You are in D-E-T. You are in debt. And it's true that in America, a lot of folks are in debt. In fact, the last statistics I had came from 2007, said that consumer debt is $2.6 trillion in the United States. $2.6 trillion that we have and we owe to somebody. So it raises the question, we're talking about biblical answers in tough financial times, what about debt? Is it beneficial to us or burdensome to be in debt? Well, you might say that's an obvious answer, but let's think about, first of all, what the Bible says about debt. That might be surprising to you. Let's take a look at what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 12. He says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Now, you can draw a couple inferences from that, is that God wants to bless His people, so that they don't have to be borrowers, but they can actually have resources to be able to lend to others. Now, that implies if God wants His people to be able to lend to others, that it's not a sin to lend, and by the converse, it's not a sin to borrow. It implies then that debt is not prohibited. It doesn't say borrowing is sinful, otherwise we wouldn't be lending. He wouldn't say it's okay for you to lend to others. Does that make sense? Because if it's not ethical to lend, if it's not ethical to borrow, then it wouldn't be ethical to lend either. Does that make sense? So, obviously from the passage here, debt is not prohibited, but Suffice to say, it's better to be a lender than a borrower. Right? Does that make sense? It's better to have more than you need than not have enough. That's essentially true. What else does debt, the Bible say about debt? Well, the New Testament has some things to say about it as well. Romans chapter 13, Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing to debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now that says that, it reminds us that really we're all in debt, right? All of us are in debt, first of all, to God, because He has loved us with a love that we could never repay. He has given us a gift there's no way we could ever earn. Christ has given Himself for us. So forever we are in God's debt. We are in the debt of Christ Himself because He came and laid down His life for us. Paul says, not only are we in debt to God, and we owe Him a debt of love we can never repay, but we owe a debt to love others around us. So you are always in debt to someone, always in debt to God, always in debt to love one another, because we owe that continuing debt to love one another as Christ has loved us. But he says, let no debt remain outstanding. Now, there's probably a couple ways you can interpret that, but it seems fairly clear to me that that says we shouldn't get behind in our debts. Ideally, as God's people, we should live up to the agreements we make with others. If we made a covenant to, for instance, borrow money and then pay it back, that we ought to do our best to pay it back as we have agreed. As Christians, we ought to be men and women who stand by our word. And so Paul says, don't let debts go outstanding, don't let them get behind, because we and how we treat others is a reflection on Christ whose name we bear. So the call is for us to not let our debts remain outstanding, but to pay our debts as they are required to be paid. And so, the writer of the Psalms says in Psalm 37, verse 21, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. So again, the writers of Scripture imply that if we borrow and don't pay back, we're not doing what we ought to do. But in fact, we ought to repay the debts that we have. So we should treat them with integrity. If we make an agreement, we should uphold our integrity and fulfill those agreements. But it also challenges us in thinking about debt, because the world that we're in tells us that basically, if you don't have what you want, it's okay to go out and borrow money to get what you want, no matter what it is. But the scriptures challenge us, and we were talking in our Sunday school class, referring to Proverbs a few times, and here's a proverb that challenges us as well. Proverbs 22, verse 7. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. I think it's helpful for us to think about that and to recognize that when we go into debt for something, we in essence give to that entity or person, institution, bank, or whoever it is, the time it's going to take us to earn money to pay that back. They own our life for that period of time. Does that understand what I mean by that? If we owe them money, they own us and those hours it's going to take for us to earn that money to give back to them. So it reminds us that Scripture strongly discourages us from going into debt, and that the proper response ought to be for us to pay off our debts and then build up an extra so that we can have to share with people in need, and to be able to take care of our family like we talked about last week, and then be able to share with those who are in need. Debt is strongly discouraged because debt can have a negative effect on your life. Have anybody ever realized that? No, you don't need to raise your hand. But hopefully if you think about it, if you've looked around the world a little bit, looked around your life, around the people around you, recognize that debt can have a negative effect on you. In fact, I came across this picture on the internet as well. Somebody wrote this out. I am depressed because I am in debt. Funny thing is, I can't afford therapy. Some of you know exactly what they're talking about, right? You're in debt. You're depressed because of it, but now you can't afford therapy because you're in debt. So the question is, what do we do about debt? What do we do? As Christians, what should we do about it? Well, think about Paul's words, and we're trying to find the principle here and apply it to the idea of us being in debt. Paul gave instructions to people when they came to Christ, when they found Christ, what should they do? Should they change their life? How should they change it? He says to folks back in Bible times, there was indeed slavery in their culture there. And for instance, he was talking to the folks there in Corinth. So the Greek culture had slavery, was still in existence at that time. He says to them, were you a slave? In essence, when you came to Christ, slavery is no roadblock to obeying and believing. I don't mean you're stuck and can't leave. If you have a chance at freedom, go ahead and take it. So he says to folks who were enslaved there in the city state of Corinth, when you came to Christ, when you found Christ, were you a slave to a master there? That doesn't keep you from obeying Christ. You can still become a believer. You can still be obedient. You can still honor Christ. But he says, I'm not saying you have to stay in that condition. If there's a way for you to earn your freedom, to gain your freedom, go ahead and take that, because indeed we're called as Christians to grow as a person, benefit ourselves and our families. God allows us to grow and develop and change. So he says you're not locked into that slavery. But just because you're in that slavery doesn't mean you can't serve God. How do we apply that to this idea of debt? Well, we already said that when you're in debt to someone, it's as though you're enslaved to them. So, are you in tons of debt right now? You can still be a Christian. You can still serve God. You can still be obedient to Him. You can still believe Him. But, Paul says, if you can find a way out of that slavery to debt, take it. Find a way out. God wants you to move ahead and have more freedom in your life to be able to serve God and others. So, free yourself from debt is the principle that comes out of that passage. Free yourself from that bondage and enslavement. So, the question is raised, how do we do that? How do we get free from debt? Well, let me share a couple ideas for us this morning that maybe we can kind of look at and put into practice that helps us all deal with this idea of getting out of debt, or if you're not in it, how to stay out of it. Hopefully, you're not in it yet, but if you're in it, how do you find steps to get out of it? Now, maybe you're here and your financial house is in order. Take some notes and share it with somebody else that you know. Chances are, you know somebody that's in debt. Chances are, you just look around the folks in Walmart. Whenever you're going to Walmart, look around, probably at least half of them or more are in debt. And they're still there buying more stuff. Right? That's what happens. So, God can equip you to help somebody else as well. And let you know too, I'm not condemning folks that find themselves in debt. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do. Most of us have a debt of some kind. You own a house or buying a house. Most of the time we have a debt of some kind. Sometimes I found myself in a situation where a car died unexpectedly and I didn't have all the money saved up for the next one. So we're still paying off one of the cars. One of them is paid for. So all of us sometimes find ourselves in situations where we have to resort to borrowing money. But again, our challenge is to make plans to get out of it as soon as possible and to arrange your life so that you can take care of the needs that you have, but also planning to move ahead as well. So, how do we get free from debt? Let me just walk through some simple steps. First of all, deal with the problem source. If you're in debt, sometimes there's a underlying problem that has led you into debt. Here are some thoughts to think about. Is it from a sense of entitlement? In other words, I deserve to have this. I deserve to have this even if I don't have enough money for it. I deserve to have it. That's not the only reason why people are in debt, but it might be one possible reason. So just consider that might be one motivation behind how you got into debt. And by the way, all of the advertisements pretty much out there tell you that you deserve to have this. They appeal to your sense of pride, or if you don't have it, you must not be the right kind of person. You're not with it. You're not if you don't have their credit card, people are laughing at you secretly. You know, stuff like that. They work the psychology against you to try to get you to want what they have. And they tell you that what they have is a necessity. You can't get along without it, and you're entitled to it. The second thing is impatience. A lot of us are not patient enough to wait until we have enough money. We want what we want when we want it, and we want it right now. Anybody ever been there? It sounds like a two-year-old, but that's a lot of times how we are. We want what we want when we want it, and it's, we want it now. We won't wait to save up money for it, but we want it now. And we can deal with those easy monthly payments, we think. The third thing is perhaps it's a lack of trust in God. The implication here is that God will provide for us at the right time and the right way if we will wait on Him. And again, this kind of ties in with impatience perhaps. But do you believe that when God's Word says that He will provide all of your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, do you believe that He will provide for all of your needs? But you say, but God, I don't have the car I want. You haven't provided me the car I want. Or the latest whatever. Well, God, I know you want me to have this because you want us all to be blessed, right? So I'll just go down and borrow money for it. Do we trust that God will provide for us? Now, if you look through Scripture, I very rarely see God providing for His people through a loan. Now, I may be wrong, but just a thought to consider. That God will provide for us, and sometimes we jump ahead instead of waiting for God to provide in sometimes even miraculous ways. We jump into those easy monthly payments maybe a little too soon. I'm not saying we should never borrow anything, but I'm asking, are we borrowing for the right things? Is it God's purpose and will for us? And I think it's very easy for us to convince ourselves that God is saying, yes, you got to have that latest, greatest thing. And sometimes that's just our lack of trusting God to provide for us and our needs at the right time and the right place. And there may be other needs as well, other reasons why we get into debt. Maybe pride, a sense of inferiority, or a sense of insecurity. We feel like we need to have stuff to make us feel secure. Whatever the reason may be, if we never deal with that root cause, the root issue, we may see a lot of times folks will do things to try to get themselves out of debt. They will have a consolidation loan and put all of the debt into one easy monthly payment, or they'll take their debt and they'll take out a line of credit on their house, or a credit line on the house or whatever, and pay off all their debts. But if they never deal with the root issue, they just take that breather and add up more debt on top of it. And so they end up, then their house has got a second mortgage on it, and they've got the same amount of consumer debt, credit card debt that they had before, because they never really dealt with the issue behind, why am I spending like this? What need am I trying to fill? What hole in my life am I trying to fill with this stuff? Ask the Lord to show you what that is. Because you'll never really get past this dependence upon debt if you never really deal with the root cause behind it. The second thing that I would encourage you to do is then give yourself fully to the Lord. The writer of Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." That says, you belong to the Lord. All who live in the world belong to the Lord. You belong to Him. Sometimes we want to take control of our own life and say, I'm going to run my life the way I want to run it. I've got to have what I want to have. If you never fully give yourself over to God, you're going to be running into problems with ownership issues and debt issues. Give yourself fully to the Lord. When we do that, we recognize that then if we belong to God fully, then everything that we own, quote-unquote, belongs to God as well. So that all of my quote-unquote possessions are not really mine. They belong to God because I am God's. So if everything I have belongs to God, then I am a steward to care for it according to His purposes and not my own whims. So if I belong fully to God, everything I have belongs to God, I've been called to use those possessions and to care for them and the resources that God blesses me with according to Him. So when I come down to making that impulse decision to buy something, instead of saying, oh, I want that, I've got to have that, it's on sale, or whatever the reason may be, I have to step back and say, wait a minute, that money is not mine, it belongs to God. My life is not my own, I belong to God. Is this helping me fulfill God's will for my life? Or is it just about what I want? And be careful. Maybe have somebody hold you accountable to that, because sometimes it's easy for us to convince ourselves that, yes, God does really want me to have this. After all, there are many preachers on TV that will tell you that. And God wants you to have the latest and greatest. God wants you to have everything your heart desires. And they don't remind you that sometimes there are times when God leads us to the Garden of Gethsemane, where He says to lay everything down for me. We come to a point where we're saying, God, take this cup from me. I don't want to have to go through this difficult moment. I don't want to have to give up everything I have. But nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. God, don't get me wrong, God does bless us many times in many ways. Some of them are material things and some of them are financial blessings, but not all of them. And God doesn't promise us all a large bank account. It doesn't promise us every toy or gadget we ever wanted. But it does promise He will provide for us and supply our needs. It reminds us that everything we are belongs to Him. Everything we have belongs to Him. So, we can make a commitment then to give ourselves fully to the Lord. Remind ourselves that all we have belongs to Him. But the world will still tempt us to live with their values. Even when we've made a commitment, everything belongs to You, the world is still going to give us the message, instead of in God we trust, they're going to tell us that we ought to read it in debt we trust. The world will keep pushing that message on us, even when we've made a decision to follow Christ. And they go at it, they entice us to follow the way the world goes. The world wants to squeeze us into its own mold every time we turn around. You walk through a store. A free soda, just apply for a credit card. Somebody posted that picture online. The caption for the picture was, get fat, go, get broke, die. I was like, well, you know, they've got a point there. You go walk in the store, they offer you a free soda, and you sign up for a credit card. All you need to do to get the soda is to sign up for a credit card. So, that's an expensive bottle of Pepsi, that's right. So, yeah, they're saying, get fat, go broke, and die. And then here's a reminder that's probably good for us all, even when we're on vacation. It's the sign says on the street, you shop like a tourist, you go broke like a tourist. Helpful to remember that. Helpful to remember that. So, how do we get free from debt? How do we get free from debt? Well, the first step is to don't get into more debt. So stop. If you're continuing to get yourself into debt, just stop. No more debt. Make a decision that you're not going to borrow anymore. You're not going to use up those credit cards again. Don't mortgage away your future, because really that's what you're doing. When you take out a loan, when you go in debt, you're mortgaging a portion of your future. We talked about that. Debt takes away some options that you have for the future. And here's a good guideline that not original with me, but many folks have said, if you can't pay off your credit card in full each month, cut it up. If you can't pay it off in full each month, cut it up. Now, just to remember, sometimes, and I use a debit card probably as much as anybody else, but remember that when you're using those little plastic cards, you tend to purchase more than if you had to actually open your wallet and pull out cash. Just remind yourself. You're more likely to go ahead and add something extra. Yeah, I'll go ahead and supersize it. Or, yeah, I'll, you know, add that another one or add one more thing, because you're not having to think about, do I have enough cash in my pocket right now to pay for it? So just let that be a warning to you when you pull out that little piece of credit card, little plastic piece of plastic, you're likely to spend more than you would if you were paying for it in cash. So if you find you can't control that little plastic card, just one guy called it, get a plasticectomy, cut up your plastic credit cards. Just cut them up. Somebody said, well, I need one for an emergency, just in case. They said, well, fine, okay. Take your piece of plastic, put it in a bottle of water. Put the bottle of water in the freezer. Then if you need that credit card, you can get to it, but it's going to take you a while. You have to thaw it out to actually get to it and be able to use it. It gives you some time for reflection so you don't make an impulse buy. If your credit card is encased in ice, it's hard to make a impulse decision to buy something. How's that? That help? So if you can't use it responsibly, cut it up. If you feel like you've got to have one for a sense of security, freeze it in a block of ice so that you can't just use it in an emergency. By the way, for the teenagers out there that parents someday may send you off to college and give you a credit card for emergencies, a large three-topping pizza does not constitute an emergency. Just to lay the groundwork, just for future reference. So, no more debt. Don't keep going into debt. When you found yourself in a hole and you can't get out, quit digging. Right? If you're already in a hole, you can't get your way out of it, quit digging. There's got to be another way to solve that problem. So, let me suggest this. Develop a spending plan. Develop a spending plan. Somebody has said, sit down before each month starts and spend your money on paper before you actually spend it in reality. In other words, make your money go where you want it to go instead of it just leaking away and you never knew where it went. A lot of folks that have problems with debt, they don't know where their money's going, they don't know where it goes to, they get down to the end of the month and they look at all their bills and look at what money they don't have and they say, where did it all go? They have no clue where their money went. A lot of financial planners say that if you just work out how much money you're spending, write it down, keep track of it, you can find basically 10% more money than you ever knew that you had just by carefully looking and see where it's going, because you end up wasting a lot because you're not really thinking about where my money is going. So, develop a spending plan. The way to become strong financially is to spend less than you make for a long time. Spend less than you earn and keep doing that for a long time. The way to financial health is to spend less than you earn and keep up that practice for a long, long time. Everybody got that? Turn to someone near you and say, this is how to financial strength. Say it with me. Spend less than you earn and keep doing that for a long time. See, most money problems are not with earning, but with spending. Most money problems are not about how much you earn, but it's about how much you spend. So going back to, one financial counselor said, we'll tell you what your grandmother used to tell you, but we'll keep our teeth in. Live within your means. Isn't that what your parents used to say? Live within your means. In other words, don't spend more than you make. Don't use a credit card for things you can't afford. Save up for them. Using a spending plan. And then prevent future debt. We'll talk more about this in the coming weeks, but essentially, to prevent future debt means you need to save up money now so that when an emergency comes, and an emergency will come up, you have some money set aside to take care of it. Have you ever noticed that at the worst possible time, the roof develops a leak, the car water pump goes out, the AC or the compressor goes out in your heat pump. It, boom, boom, boom. Stuff happens, it seemed like, one right after the other, and then suddenly, I got to go put it on my credit card, or I got to use that line of credit. But if you saved up an emergency fund, you're in a whole lot better shape. It seems like the emergencies come whether you're ready for them or not, but it is better to be ready for them than not be ready for them. Here's a quick tip, and then we'll wrap up. Is if you have, if possible, set up with your bank so that when you get your check in every month, have them set aside a small amount into a savings account or some kind, just something simple like that, so that you don't even see the money. It gets taken out maybe when you deposit your check, or every time you make the deposit, set aside a certain amount into a savings account so that you don't think about it. It's not in your regular account, and it's just building up on a regular basis. And then when the transmission goes out in the car, you have something to fall back on, so you're not having to put all that on a credit card. And on top of it, start building up a little bit of savings. Even if you've got a debt looming, build up a little bit of savings so that when the next emergency comes, you don't have to jump right. You're not jumping right back into that whole thing of borrowing money yet again. Build up a small savings account so that you can weather those storms that come, because they will come. And we're called to be ready for them. Why are we talking about finances? Because we're obviously in a situation where a lot of us are thinking about it. The economy is not the greatest, and a lot of folks are worried about what's going to happen. But I want to remind you, as Christians, we're called to be good stewards of what God has given us. And this morning we're trying to give you a few good handles on some ways to get ready for difficulties, so you're not letting them catch you unawares. And so that we can still live as Christians, we're giving our life fully to God, and that way we're using even our money in ways that honor God. God wants to bless us, but if He blesses us, He wants us to be willing to bless others. God blesses us to be a blessing. And if we've mortgaged all our blessings, we're not going to be in a place where we can share them with anybody. What a sad story if our life was spent on ourselves, and we've never been in a place where we can help anybody else. But I have good news for you. With God's help and the strength and encouragement of your friends and family and other Christians, God can help you dig your way out of that debt. The folks tell us that work with this all the time, that most folks, if they really apply themselves, they ask for God's help, they commit themselves fully to this task of overcoming debt, most folks, within 3 to 5 years, can be completely debt-free. Now, some of you say, 3 to 5 years, that's a long time. Well, some folks have gotten into debt a long ways. It took you a while to get there. It's going to take you a little while to get out of it. But how much better, certainly, you'll feel about yourself and about your life in general if you know you're on a plan that will show you the light at the end of the tunnel, and you're making progress moving forward to a place where then when God blesses you, you're in a place where you can bless others. God can use you to make a difference in the lives of people around you. Instead of facing a need and saying, well, man, I wish I could help them, but I don't have any way to help them. I know God wants me to help them, but there's no way I could do that. How much better to say, Lord, thank you for helping me prepare that I might help somebody else. Now, if some of you are struggling with this and you feel like, well, this was a good start, but I need more help than what I've gotten this morning, let us know that. Some of you may remember, I think it was it last year, about this time, we had a gentleman come and offer us financial help at a seminar on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And some of us got great help from that. And we have some materials that we can use with folks to help walk them through this. So if you are interested in that, let us know that. Take your worship folder and fill it. You already turned yours in. There's others back there. I think we've got some extra this morning. Write us a note if you're interested in being a part of a small group or a class or even kind of one-on-one things if necessary. Let us know that, because we have some folks who have the ability and training and skill to work with folks that are head over heels in debt, and you need some help, somebody just kind of walk with you through it, hold you accountable, and encourage you, if nothing else, to keep with it and believe that God can bring you through victoriously and deliver you from the oppression of debt that you're suffering from. So let us know if we can help you in that way. Here this morning, I thought about closing with a pair of scissors up here and asking anybody who wanted to have their credit card cut up to come on up and we'll cut it up for them. Oh, I've got my little knife. I'll try that with a knife if anybody wants to do that. So let me know. But one of the things that we do is take that step. If God has challenged you with a certain area where you can take a step toward fulfilling what He's called you to be and do this morning, make a commitment to follow through on what the Lord has said to you this morning. Here's how we're going to close this morning. In a moment, we're going to stand for prayer. When we do that, I invite you to stand with us and just commit yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, my life belongs to You. If you'd like to pray and just make that commitment here at the front, feel free to do that. It may not have anything to do with money for you this morning. Maybe it's just about, yes, I need to give my life fully to God. I haven't done that. I've been trying to run things on my own. If you'd like to just respond to Him and say, Lord, You've given me life. I'm giving my life back to You. Feel free to do that as we close in prayer this morning. All right, let's stand. As we close in prayer, if you would bow your heads with us. And as we do that, if someone would like to come forward for prayer, feel free to do that as we begin our prayer this morning. Our Father, thank You for the wonderful gift You've given us. Your Son, Jesus Christ, as Scripture says, is an indescribable gift. Lord Jesus, the riches of Your glory purchased for us by Your own Son. Lord Jesus, there's no way we can repay You. So we are in debt to You today because of Your great love for us. And Lord, all of us have been blessed by the people around us. Lord Jesus, all of us are where we are because of those who have gone before us, who have blessed us, who have taught us, who have prayed for us. We owe an incredible debt to those who brought us to this place by their example, by their effort, by their love, by their prayers. So Lord, we owe an incredible debt to the people around us and to the people who will follow us. Lord Jesus, may we be found faithful. Lord Jesus, we recognize today that our world wants to squeeze us into its way of thinking. Lord Jesus, give us strength to say no to that pressure from the world, that instead we might look to You for our guidance, for our leadership from You. So Lord Jesus, may we today depend upon You for our supply, for our resources. May we, Lord, give You ourselves and all that we own. Lord, everything we have belongs to You, to be used by You and for You for whatever purposes You may show us. Lord Jesus, for those of us who feel like we're enslaved to death today, would You today give them a sense of hope that You can set them free? Help them, Lord, to identify and address any issues that may have led them to that place. May they give those issues to You. May they surrender themselves fully to You and ask You, Lord, to renew them and inspire them, Lord, with Your purposes, with Your love, with your plan for them. And Lord Jesus, may we encourage them and come alongside them to support them, not to condemn them. No, because, Lord, we've all been in places financially where we'd rather not be. Lord, we also can testify that You have brought us to a place that we perhaps never thought we would be because of Your grace and blessing. Lord, thank You for Your provision for us. And now, Lord, bless us. Bless our time together in the meal that we're about to share. Lord, we'll worship You and praise You with our lives. Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here. Shake hands with one another. Let them know you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning.